Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 7-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Once again, finding people on Facebook, amazing survivors and their stories, and this guy, 3-time cancer survivor, fighting again for the 4th time, hanging out with Bradley Cooper and a lot of celebs, and getting the word out about Delete Blood Cancer, talking to Anthony Daniels. How are you today, Anthony?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent. So, 2011, you were diagnosed the first time. Like, what, and right around Christmas, I mean, Merry Christmas to you, but let's start a little bit about how that happened and go from there.
The process to be, it wasn't just like I woke up one day.
Well, yeah.
You know, like other people's stories is I woke up, I got a lump, and then I found out, whatever. My process kind of took a little longer. It took, I went to 10 doctors in 3 months.
Whoa.
Because so before everything happened, I was a hockey player my whole life.
Nice.
And when I was 19 years old, right, I got my ride to go play at college. I got hit by a car, so I lost my ride because I got hit by a car and I broke my leg and I was unable to attend. So then I got into like the bodybuilding, powerlifting kind of circuit stuff. So I gained a lot of weight. When I played hockey, I was like 165 pounds. I got to like 230 pounds within like a 14 month period. Mm-hmm. When I started to recognize a pain, so to speak, was when I turned 20 in June. So you think about a college schedule. So June, my semester just ended.
Right.
I started
to get
chest pains. And it would be during a workout. It would last like 2-3 seconds, but it'd be a sharp pain. By the time I started school, my fall semester, I go to Fordham University. I started to develop an itch. So this itch was so bad. It was just like anyone who's had poison ivy, you know, like it was literally that bad. There was no rash or anything. So I'd constantly be scratching myself from head to toe from the time I woke up, from the time I went to sleep. And it was kind of awkward because I'd be in school and like I'd be sitting in the back of the class and I'd take off my shoes and I'd itch myself and stuff like that because, no, seriously. And my brother would be going to school with me and he'd get all embarrassed because I look like an idiot, but I just itch. That's why I kept going to the doctors. But halfway through the semester, I got vertigo. So I was blind for 3 weeks. So that kind of took a pause on my whole itching. My brother, I was still going to school, so my brother would like walk me. He would walk me across the street and all this other stuff because I could barely see. I was almost completely blind. I could see very little of that. Like I could see where I was to an extent, but like everything was just like a blur. So it's not like I wouldn't walk into a wall.
You could have been a hockey ref.
Yeah, like the ones you've seen today, right?
Right, jeez. Exactly.
But as it continued, I continued to go to doctors, but I started to lose a lot of weight. And it didn't make any sense because what happened was, even though I was still had this itch and everything, I still was training. And it doesn't make any sense from being 230 pounds to being the strongest I've ever been to from September to December, I lost like 50 pounds. I went from 233 to 183. But when I was still training, I was still eating. I was more active because I was at school. Mm-hmm. But there's no excuse for losing 50 pounds like that, and the itch. So, what the problem was, some of the doctors thought I had a psychiatric problem. Like they thought I was lying or that I was doing it to myself. One of the doctors said if I waited a couple years, it would go away, and if I did that, I'd be dead. Obviously.
Whoa, that's crazy.
But luckily, because I have such a strong mom and she's just so great. She wouldn't stop until she found out what the problem was, do whatever she could do. And we went to a dermatologist and she did a biopsy and then said, well, why don't you go get blood work? And in 3 months, if you still have this itch, we'll get you a chest x-ray. But being my mom, she found a way to get a chest x-ray. And I had a 20 centimeter mass in my chest with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I found out 2 hours later that I had a 20 centimeter mass, but it was later confirmed a couple days after Christmas because I had a biopsy and they actually did it wrong. So anyone that's ever had a chest biopsy with tumors in their chest, they know that you're conscious for it. And it's like a 6-7 inch needle.
Oh, yes.
You know what it is, plunge right into your chest. Mm-hmm. And I had to do that twice in like a 3-day period because the first time they screwed up. So that was cool.
Yeah.
But then I started chemotherapy a couple of weeks later.
Could they remove the tumor, or were they just...
Well, no, that you can't really, from my knowledge, you can't really remove a tumor that is a blood cancer because it's going to come back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it, I had this big, big mass in my chest and they had to get at it. And the problem with it was, one thing about me is that I've had a lot of chemotherapy, but I also do, I found a way after getting, once I got cancer a second time, to be able to do more than I, than most people can, even though how sick I am, through right. like training and stuff like that.
Because of the hockey training.
Yeah. And then I started, because then I became a boxer while I was sick, and it helped fight my disease, but it was, I've had a lot, like the best way to describe it, I'm on my 16th different chemotherapy treatment, and I've had like 18 different forms of chemotherapy in my body over a 3.5-4 year period. So when I first got cancer, all the standard care treatment, it didn't work. So when I started chemotherapy at first, I mean, it worked, but like not enough, like barely anything. The first couple months I was suffering, I was throwing up and like every day, just like everybody else, you know, everyone's the same with that. Right. And I was suffering, but my mass didn't go down at all. And I haven't really told that many people about it. And I don't know really why I'm telling you this right now, but it's just kind of flowing that way.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
It was scary for me because, I mean, you get, anyone who's ever had chemotherapy, real chemotherapy, you know, knows how bad it is. So you go through that and it doesn't even work. The first time you had chemo, I was like, okay, well, that's not good. So then they gave me like one of the strongest chemotherapies for my disease. It was called like Escalated Biocop. And
I don't even like how that sounds.
Yeah. It's a German drug. So, you know, right off the bat that what that kind of drug is like. It worked. Then I got cancer again. And pretty much everything I've been through, I've had like over 600 hours of chemo. Ooh. I've had radiation, I've had a stem cell transplant, I've had over 20 biopsies, I've had over 20 PET scans, you know, the list goes on. I've had a lot of everything.
How does the chemo brain affect you? Because it still affects me and I'm 8 years cancer-free.
Oh yeah, the thing kind of sucks is I go to like a pretty competitive school. What I mean by that is like, a lot of the classes I take, you have to compete for grades because there's too many kids in a class or something like that.
Right, right.
And it is so hard. It gets so hard to even like right now, if you're really listening to this, you'll see me just make pauses or something won't make sense because my mind will just like shut down
mm-hmm.
from all the drugs and stuff like that.
Oh, I know. That's got to be hard. I mean, but your school should take that into consideration.
Oh, no, they do. Okay. They do. I mean... No, but I kind of live by the no excuse policy.
Right.
So by living that way, I get things done. It's just, it's hard. It gets hard.
Oh, yeah.
But you understand that.
I understand. It's something. Yeah. Like I'll be talking to someone and a friend of mine will come over, for example, and I'll want to introduce them and I totally forget both their names. And I'm like, hey, this is, I don't even know who you are right now.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you just feel like an idiot. Yeah, it happens
well,
to me all the time.
Luckily, like all my friends like understand, like they may not understand, but they get. Like if I just sit there and look at them and go,
then they, yeah, right. Then my thing is because I'm a motivational, I'm a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny because a month ago I had this annual gala event for Delete Blood Cancer. And it was like last year I made a film with people, Kenny Spooner and Mike O'Brien, and it's called To Be Strong. And it was a pretty successful film. We won a few film fests. It got national attention. A lot of media was on it.
Sweet.
So it helped me being recognized for Delete Blood Cancer. So I had a lot of certain things. Like I interviewed a lot. I was comfortable. I spoke at a lot of different events. But when I had this event, it was like the first legitimate speaking event. I spoke in front of like 1,000 people with like Randy Jackson was the host.
Oh my gosh.
Georgia Mae Jagger was there, all these celebrities and top doctors, like pretty much very important people all in one room. And the funny thing was the only thing I kept thinking about, I spoke for 12 minutes in front of 1,000 people and I loved it. But my biggest fear the whole time was that, and actually at one point in the speech, I had a chemo moment mm-hmm. and I literally just zoned out, and luckily I kind of made everyone laugh on that, thank God. But I was like dying inside because
yes,
it's humiliating, you know what I mean?
But at least, I mean, they understood it, so that's good. So that's how you got in, with Delete Blood Cancer, is through this movie. It's called To Be Strong.
Well, To Be Strong was separate from what I did with Delete. What I did with Delete Blood Cancer, you can look at it on YouTube. I believe it's called Anthony Daniels Fight for Life. It's a 2-minute video, a quick synopsis of everything I've been through and the importance of donating and everything like that. While To Be Strong is a 14-minute short documentary of my life when I up until the point, pretty much when the film ended. I beat cancer for like a month or two period, but I kept it quiet because I keep jumping out of remission every 5 seconds.
Right.
The video is an up-to-date version of it.
So do you plan on filming more, or do you film at all your
sessions? I don't film, but
like to do that. I don't, I'm not one of those who like, oh yeah, let's film my treatment on my mammogram. No, that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't really like when, I mean, it can't, anyone that probably has an understanding of the things I've been doing probably won't believe when I say this, but I really don't like the attention, or I don't like having eyes on me. The first 2.5 years, no one knew I was sick. The difference is I want to help people, and I also need to help myself too. So it works both ends, and I'm getting more comfortable with it. It's just, it's very hard for me to show weakness. But if me showing weakness is helping people, then it's okay.
I agree.
Then I can live with that, you know?
I agree. And I think it's important to know that you can show you, I mean, that's part of the journey, which is unfortunate.
It takes a lot of courage to show weakness. I mean, when I was first speaking, I would walk around with this, you know, with this kind of aura, this bravado, like that I'm just this big, tough kid. And while I, you know, there I am, but it's not true. You know, I still am afraid just like everybody else. I get nervous just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's what you do with that fear that matters. You know, I mean, if I could walk around and say that, hey, I'm not afraid of death, or I'm not afraid of anything, and I meant it, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But that's just not true, you know?
So they got a hold of you, Delete Blood Cancer. Now you're with them, and wait a minute. So how did you get on? I see pictures of you with Bradley Cooper, and you're on, was it Good Morning America?
Yeah, I was on Good Morning America. So pretty much what happened was, all right, so a month ago I had this gala event, this really big gala event. And if you look at my social media pages, you'll see a bunch of red carpet stuff and me speaking. And pretty much what had that happened from that event was they're using me as one of the faces.
Which is good.
Of the cause nationally, and trying, and now then they're going to be pushing it globally. We were in the biggest newspaper in Germany or whatever. It's just like People magazine here, or News magazine. Like, it's, my story is being pushed on a global level, which is good. So what happened was, after the gala event, the owner, her name is Katarina Harf, well, the co-founder of Delete Blood Cancer, she was staying at the Greenwich Hotel. Now, which is in downtown Manhattan, for anybody that doesn't know. It is, and during this time, the Tribeca Film Festival was going on. And the Tribeca Film Festival is one of the biggest festivals, period.
Right.
So all these movie stars and everything, I believe Robert De Niro owns the Greenwich Hotel. So that's how I met him and all these other people. They were all stay at this hotel. So while she was staying there, I would go there every single day and I'd hang out with her, and we would build ideas, and other people from the Delete Blood Cancer would come. So over the course of this month, when I was staying at this hotel, I would see all these different celebrities. Like last week I saw Queen Latifah, for example.
Nice.
And all these people were there, and pretty much whoever she would talk to, she would, you know, would try to help the story. So luckily what happened was, one day I was fishing. It was 2 days after the gala, and I got a phone call saying that they talked to Bradley Cooper. And he said, "Yeah, would you want to meet him?" And I was like, "Obviously, I want to meet Bradley Cooper." I mean,
I don't really want to meet him. Just tell him that's fine. Yeah.
What?
No, I don't want to meet Bradley Cooper. What are you talking about? Seriously.
Yeah, right. I mean, I only saw the last movie 5,000 times, but
exactly.
Yeah. You know. So I got the call. And then, you know, nothing really happened. So when I was going to the hotel, one day I was just up and I was in one of the rooms, and I came back down with Katarina, and the elevator opens, and who's right there? Bradley Cooper. So I got introduced to him, and then they say, he goes, yeah, send me the video. And this is a 2-minute video. So this is the video that we've been sending to raise awareness. Like,
right.
Pink has seen my video and retweeted it. Rihanna has tweeted it. You know, so a lot of celebrities have seen it and are kind of pushing it, which mm-hmm. is which is cool. So it's raising a lot of awareness for people that need stem cell transplants like myself, which right. is which is awesome. And what happened was pretty much I wrote an email to Bradley Cooper's manager or publicist, one of the I think both of them. And I was saying that I would love to meet him. You know, if you can, just please let me know, because I had a couple of weeks ago, I had spine surgery.
Ooh.
Well, it was a biopsy because what happened was I got a PET scan and the majority of my cancer went away, but the cancer in my bones grew and they didn't understand why. So they thought I had a secondary cancer.
Jeez.
But I don't. But the point, which is good, but the point is I had to let them know because I need to figure out my schedule. And they said, yeah, come in like Tuesday morning, whatever. He came in one morning and honestly was like the coolest, probably the coolest guy I've ever met in my life. And it was just, he's just so laid back, so humble, so nice, and just was. When I was asking him, he said, "Well, what can I do to help?" And we thought about doing a PSA, but I already did a PSA with George May Jagger, which is coming up in a week.
Right.
I actually have the link, but I don't know if I'm allowed to post it yet.
Okay.
Which I could send you to, which is it's actually pretty cool. And he was like, you know, I don't really have social media, so I don't really see a point of doing that. But he goes, "Would you want to get on one of a talk show?" And I was like, obviously.
Nah, I don't want to do that either.
That's what I wanted to do. Once my first film came out, that was the goal, to get to a talk show.
Right.
Because at that point, the talk show would help get my story out. And it helped me be one of the faces of whatever so that I can help putting more people on the registry. He goes, all right, you know, I have connections to, he goes, what show would you want to get on? I was like, I don't know. Good Morning America, Ellen. I don't know. Those are the ones. That's my big goal.
Right.
And he goes, all right, well, would you want to go on the show with me? And I was like, yeah.
You know
what I mean? Like, everything he kept saying to me, I was just like, is this really happening? Is he really offering to do this? Because the greatest thing about all these things I'm doing is I don't have to sell myself. I just have to be myself, and all these people want to help out. And, you know, within like 5 minutes, he asked me what I did. He found out I was a boxer with cancer and all this other stuff. And he was just, I guess he just thought, he just was so cool about it and wanted to help out. So next thing you know, we made a phone call a week later. I got on to Good Morning America for like 7 minutes with Bradley Cooper.
That's amazing.
And in one day we raised 2,507 people on the registry and had over 40 drive requests in just one day.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, it's unbelievable. And the support and everything has been so overwhelming, and it is. It's really great to see people care, because it's people don't actually realize how serious this whole thing is and how sad it is, in the sense that people like myself, and I'm no different from thousands and thousands of other people, they fight for so long and they fight for years and they don't get the opportunity to fight their last fight because they don't have a match. Like me, my story is, you know, I didn't get lucky with it. I have two brothers, they're perfect matches for each other, just not myself.
That's weird.
And I had a perfect 10 out of 10 match, unrelated, but the perfect person never answered their phone and never got back to us or to wherever. So I was left without a match.
Wow.
So to see all these people wanting to help and showing how selfless they are, it really is a beautiful thing. And it's something amazing to see. And knowing especially over the course of the past year, having people contact me and say, you know, I'm going to do it. I just got the call, and finding out I've had probably about 40, 50 people within a year tell me that they're donating for somebody.
That's awesome.
It's just, you know, it shaves some pain off my heart and my family's heart to think that I was sick for a reason and that I'm helping people. And it means something to me, you know?
Well, you are helping people now. That's kind of weird that somebody would donate and then they wouldn't answer their phone. So
yeah.
That's just very upsetting. But you're starting a new campaign with Delete Blood Cancer. Can you tell me more about that? Because I think the name of it is awesome.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. So what happened was, when I was developing my speech for Delete Blood Cancer, I have a motivational speaking mentor.
Okay.
His name is Philip Caban. And what happened was, when I was writing my speech, he obviously helped me out with it. And he came up with the idea of what I've always wanted from the campaign. Mm-hmm. He kind of said the idea and kind of laid it out in a more specific way.
Right.
So like what I was thinking, he thought and said. So he was actually the person with the idea for God Cheeks, not me. We were talking about it. We were on the phone and talking, and it just kind of came up. So I got him involved, and I explained it in my speech. And I guess Delete Blood Cancer liked it. So pretty much the point of the speech is we want to make it to the point where it becomes like a global movement.
Right.
So like, for example, say a celebrity went around and on a tour or something, and then we're talking about God Cheeks, and then other people would follow and donate. Because the thing is, I truly believe that people want to donate. They just don't know the process, or they don't really understand what's really going on. So like, if I went to some, you know, most people on the street and said, you could save this person's life, this is what you have to do, I think most people would do it.
I agree. And when we were talking before the show, I've talked to a lot of survivors who have gotten bone marrow transplants, and it's for the person who donates, it's not that hard of a process. It's just a cheek swab, like you said, got cheeks, mm-hmm. just like they do on NCIS with, you know, Abby. Yep. And then it's a simple blood donation, basically, or that type of blood donation, similar to that, not a blood donation.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the difference is the needle's a little bigger, but you still lay there. And, you know, like I said, the majority of people I've spoken to have done it just like that. Only a few people have got it through their hip, but most people get it through the arm, and they just sit there and, you know, let it go for 3 hours, and that's it.
But yeah, and like you said before the show, the amount of stuff that a cancer survivor goes through is a lot worse than someone sitting there for 3 hours getting a needle through the hip or something. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. It's like, oh, it's going to be painful. It's like, well, you know, you're a 3-time cancer survivor. I mean, that's, and how many, you had probably had every single chemo there was in the book. And then some.
Right now I'm just working on trials. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, 3 hours versus needle versus what you've gone through. I mean, there's no comparison, really.
Exactly. And the biggest thing, the reason why this is so important to me, the awareness thing, is obviously I need to help save myself. But what I've realized is the people that become a donor, their lives have changed. Every person I know and or I've seen, their lives change. They become instantly, you're a hero. It's one of the, to me, donating for someone you don't know mm-hmm. is the most selfless and beautiful thing anyone can ever do. Because you're giving a piece of yourself and hope it would save somebody else. Knowing that you did your part and you did that to help save someone's life, whether they survive or not, makes you a hero and it makes you a better person. So you don't have to do anything in your whole life.
Right,
if you
right.
do that, you can know at one point in your life you truly made a difference to the world in some way. You truly did something worth that has meaning, something you should be very, very proud of. And I think if people understood that part, it wasn't just please help me or help us. It's more like, right. look what happens to you. And I said this before in plenty of my speeches, I'm not the hero. The hero is a person that gives a piece of themselves to somebody else. That's a hero. I'm not. I think if people understood that part and they had more knowledge about the whole situation, there wouldn't only be 23 million people in the registry.
Right.
You know what I mean? It'd be in the billions, but it's not, because people don't understand. And that's what me and Delete Blood Cancer are trying to do with this campaign. It's trying to raise awareness on all fronts, not just please donate for me, but why you should donate, how to donate, why this is such a big thing, how just one person mm-hmm. change everything.
Now, can
it mean something?
Can one person be more matched to more than one person? Has that ever happened? You know
what I found? I've heard that most of the people have gotten called a few times. Mm-hmm. It's very rare, but
right.
I have heard that before.
That's pretty sweet.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, you could save a couple people by just getting a cheek swab.
Right? Takes not even 10 seconds.
I know. That's crazy. So what's next for you besides the Got Cheeks? Are there going to be T-shirts for this?
Yes, there are. We just...
Sweet.
Yeah, they're going to be cool. So pretty much what we're doing right now is for the first event. So for Memorial Day weekend, there's this thing called the Ridgewood 5K. I live in Ridgewood, New Jersey.
Okay.
And there's usually 3,000 to 4,000 people come to this event. So what's cool is that we have our own booth, and we have like 1,000 T-shirts printed. We have posters. We have a We have a swab table, a photo booth photography, we have all this stuff. So I think what we're eventually going to do is once we tweak the designs and everything, because it's the first event and this idea came up a month ago, that after we're going to start probably making different designs so people can buy it online and hope, and obviously the proceeds will go to help funding people that need bone marrow and stuff like that or anything like that. But, or cancer research, I'm not sure. I haven't really thought about that yet. But the t-shirts look pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. The God Cheeks, it looks pretty cool. You know, it's not, I'll send it to you and you'll like it.
Sweet. Yeah. Cause I know a lot of people, like we had talked before, they always think of, see, there's a chemo brain for me. They always think of the donation as the thing you would see in the 70s where someone's just in pain for like hours and hours and hours. And, you know, of course, TV has and film has kind of ruined some people as far as like.
Gosh. But the thing is, it's really not people's fault, though. I mean, I'm not going to lie. And I didn't even know about it really until I was told I needed to get it done. So if you didn't even have cancer, it's completely understandable. That's kind of our mission is to make people aware of it because without it, people like myself were told our chances of survival are none. But
you're still here, so that's, you know.
Anyways, I'm not going anywhere.
You're not going anywhere. So you play hockey. What position do you play?
I was a winger, but I took a lot of faceoffs because I won them a lot. So
nice. Sweet. Yeah, I usually play wing. Conversations always have to go towards hockey if there's somebody talking hockey. So, yeah.
And I was a huge, I mean, still am, but it's a little different because it, my career kind of didn't go the right way.
Right.
And I think the hardest part is that my teammates, you know, some of them are pros. Oh. Other ones had these great D1 careers and they're my line mates, but, you know, I got hit by a car. So it was like, well, and then I got cancer. So the whole thing was just kind of like, it sucks, but I'm very happy to be doing what I'm doing right now, and which is awesome. But playoff hockey's on, though.
Oh, I know.
Watch playoff hockey. I mean, you see the game last night? Come on.
I did. Although I really wanted the Rangers to win, but, you know.
So do I. I'm a Devils fan because I'm from Jersey, but my brother is a huge Ranger fan, so obviously I'm going to support them. But they're just 12 goals in two games. That is not good.
No.
That's not good.
So any other event? Are you going to be running in the 5K this weekend?
I might be. I don't know yet. It depends because I have chemo the day before. On a Friday. Well, tomorrow. I have it. So
you can walk. At least do the 5K.
No. I'll probably. It depends if they need me. It depends. If there's media there, obviously I can't run because.
Right.
You know. But if there isn't, I would love to run. I mean, it's kind of hard for me because I have like 50% lung functioning.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, if I can box, I could run.
Exactly.
But pretty much what I'm looking forward to towards for the future picture is I like to take things like one step at a time. Mm-hmm. The campaign is something I'm going to keep building. I'm going to continue to do for a long time, as long as it needs to be done. I'm also filming another documentary, which is awesome, from the people from Delete Blood Cancer, which will take a year to do. It's going to take probably like a year. Pretty much my journey and my family's journey, and pretty much it's not just about me being sick.
Right.
But doing what I love to do, or what I want to be, is I want to be a speaker that goes around the world and inspires people. That's my dream. And while it's very attainable for myself, especially now, it's just I can't really travel because I'm sick. But
right. You're doing it via Skype right now, and you'll be doing it, you know, but traveling is pretty cool, too.
Exactly. Absolutely. So a year ago, I had a lot of all the goals I've accomplished so far.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things I want to do for myself. I'm planning on writing a book and all this other stuff, but I think it's most important that I kind of continue on the journey that I am of raising awareness and trying to do as much as possible, whether if it's getting on, you know, like a talk shows or on the Post and continue doing that, or it's doing events or speaking, whatever it is.
Hanging with Bradley Cooper.
They are all my boy Bradley Cooper. Yeah. You know, it's been a really, the whole thing, everything's been a really neat experience, meeting a lot of amazing people. And it's I'm very blessed to be in the position I am and to be blessed that people are actually inspired by my story so that I can help. So,
well,
very lucky.
Well, they are, and we're out of time. So if people want to get a hold of you or Delete Blood Cancer, how do they do so?
Most importantly, if you want to get a hold of Delete Blood Cancer, go to deleteblockcancer.org, and registration's right there. It's really quick and easy. The registration takes more than anything. It takes like 10 minutes. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can either, I mean, probably easier to go to Instagram me at AnthonyDaniels_. Mm-hmm. And Facebook, Anthony Daniels.
Sweet. Well, hang on, Anthony. I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mal Medeiros. I am the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's the Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.